Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
The first question I have to ask you, Peter, is where in the world are you? Because I've seen you. You had a waiter with a great name this morning. You were at a golf tournament, and it was so hot you couldn't tweet. And then you're at a softball tournament. Where are you, man?
I am in Oklahoma City, and yes, I had the greatest waiter name ever this morning. I go to breakfast here. I'm here for the Women's College World Series, and I get there, and I'm like, you know, I always like to say hello to everybody and stuff. I'm just a friendly guy, and in the name tag says juvenile. I was like, you've got to be joking. And the guy, he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm Puerto Rican. Like, that's my, like, I was just named juvenile. I'm like, this is unbelievable. So unbelievable guy. I was just like, started going back to like the 400 degrees and, you know, all the bad Cash Money rap videos in the past. So, yeah, man, it's been busy. So I'm here, obviously Florida and Georgia in the Women's College World Series. They played last night. We got Florida playing again tonight against UCLA yesterday. Or the day before, rather, I was in Stillwater because Alabama was playing in the national championship against Oklahoma State for men's golf. And then I just spent like the longest week ever for a SEC baseball tournament with the 55 rain delays that we had. So I'm earning some hotel points this week, Mickey. I'm not going to lie.
Well, no doubt. And you and your I'm following you on social media. You got a beautiful young family. So, you know, you can use some of those points. Sneak out, take the baby somewhere. You and mama and the little girl, you know, hit the pool somewhere this summer. You've earned it.
I'll be happy to do that. And then all of a sudden, then I had to miss SEC meetings in Destin. Like, that's the one I wanted to go to, right? Because then you're hanging out by the beach, everybody's playing golf, and I'm sitting here working, man. God, it's killing me.
Well, Nick Saban started the week working, and, you know, he says, it's not my rule. Yeah, what do you got? If you want to change it, change. Well, guess what happened today? They changed the transfer rule.
Well, what's funny is that, and Nick won't say much about this, but, you know, everybody says, oh, well, Nick's against it because he doesn't want people to come stealing his players. And I'm like, that's not the case. Like,
right.
Now, if you want to have open season, this is going to mean some kid that's not good enough to play for Alabama, well, he may go transfer to somewhere inside the conference, right? Or immediately to somewhere. But that can also mean that, hey, listen, if you're playing at a bad school and you think you're the best of the best and you want to come play, well, then now it's no different than, joining the Golden State Warriors. You know, like, right. You have, like talk about Vandy. You know, you had Ralph Webb, who was unbelievable, and all of a sudden, let's say that, hey, for whatever reason, Bama, and it's a bad example, but needed a running back, and Ralph said, you know what, I want to go there. I want to learn from their quarterback or running backs coach on how to be the best guy on the next level. Well, then boom, you already have the facilities. You're probably going to play for a championship or at least in the playoff if you play for Bama. So this is just Saban doesn't like change, right? Because he's figured out the formula for championship football. You know, that's why he didn't like the headset change. He doesn't like the transfer change. It's really not so much as the rules itself. It's just like, why every time that we figure out the rules a year later, we're changing them. And that's just, you know, I don't blame them. You know, if we were shooting 65 every day and we wouldn't change our equipment, right? Like, you know, we would just say, let's keep with the status norm.
What's going to stop tampering? What's going to stop? Because, well, a school like Alabama, well, the high resource schools just bring in a guy. Hey, it's your job to monitor who's about to graduate and has some time left. What's going to stop? Like Jalen Hurts. Wouldn't you? Everybody be trying to tamper with that guy. Think about Gus Malzahn's offense, Peter, with Jalen Hurts running that thing.
Well, I know. I mean, and again, even with Jared Stidham, who is their prototypical Gus quarterback, they were able to still beat Bama this year. I mean, now I even think of it, what if LSU the last couple of years had a Jalen Hurts and not, you know, whatever they were throwing out there in Danny Etling. So, I think that's the situation that you're going to get because it's already, I personally don't necessarily like it. I don't like transferring within the conference. I don't have a problem with that if you have graduated. I feel like this is all about NCAA student athletes, right? I mean, that's the alleged thing that we talk about in collegiate sports. So I feel like if you do graduate, man, you get the privilege, because that's an honor to graduate college. You can go play whomever you want to play for. However, just to say, oh, I'm not playing real good, and this school took a chance on you with a scholarship. They coached you up, they fed you, they gave you all the playbooks and stuff like that. And then because you can't, for whatever reason aren't playing, you want to transfer. Then inside the conference, I do have a little bit of issue with it.
Let's stay on football for just a second. As you've watched how Jeremy Pruitt is recruiting, how he's kind of handling his business at Tennessee, what's a fair expectation for him this year?
I mean, a fair expectation, maybe 7 wins. I mean, listen, I mean, this is a year zero situation for Jeremy Pruitt, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think for Jeremy, there were some schools I go look at even maybe Tennessee when the Butch Jones thing was that, hey, how quick can we build this? How quick can we be a contender? Well, listen, I mean, you want it built, but you want it built right. You got to have a steady foundation or else it'll crumble. And that's the same thing that happened with Butch, I think, in Knoxville, is the fact that there were guys that made a lot of headlines and when they got recruited, 5-star guys, and this guy's going to be a game changer, but they weren't really the right fit for Rocky Top. They weren't just the right fit to build a strong foundation. And I think that's what Pruitt has seen firsthand. I think Muschamp saw it. I think Kirby Smart saw it under Saban, is that, you got to have the guys that are going to fit your style of football, right? Not trying to grab 4 or 5 5 stars or big time recruits and change the way you try to play football around that. So, I mean, I think it's a slow burn. I mean, if I'm a Tennessee fan, I do like the hire, considering everything that happened in the coaching search, which was just a disaster, frankly. However, I think it's going to be probably a 3 years, and I mean, we're talking 2020 until we can say, I think this team can compete in the East.
And we don't live, Peter, in a patience world. It's always, look how much money that guy's making. Why is he winning already? Not a lot of patience in this college football world we live in now.
No, but what I do like about Pruitt is that I think that he's not going to, he's not going to talk about unfair expectations. What I mean by that is he's not going to sit there and come on your show or come on my show and say, hey, listen, we're going to be really good, and next year we're going to be great, and, man, we're ahead of Strack and stuff like that. Like, you don't need to show that, right? Like, you just need to win games. You don't need to tell us that, because what happens is all of a sudden, if I'm expecting the greatest steak dinner ever and then I get, like, a McRib, which I like McRibs, but it's not filet mignon, then all of a sudden I'm like, well, wait a minute, you kind of sold me a bill of goods. And so when it goes bad, it goes bad. And that's not just unique to Tennessee, too. I mean, I think A&M got in a similar situation. They recruited headlines and not guys that were the fit for their program, and that's why we got Jimbo Fisher and not Kevin Sumlin in this league.
Peter Burns from ESPN, the SEC Network. Our guest, your colleagues at ESPN had the way too early top 25 for basketball. Kentucky weighs in at 3. Tennessee not sneaking up on anybody this year, 5. Auburn at 11, despite having guys. It's like a Grand Central Station with the people coming and going. LSU, nope. Will Wade, maybe expected to really put something together. And Mississippi State, bringing back a lot of scoring, all in this way too early top 25.
Yeah, Hugh Weatherspoon, Lamar Peters, you get all the guys back from Auburn. LSU's got a monster recruiting class. And I mean, honestly, my favorite guy in the league is Admiral Schofield. Like,
yep.
I was so excited when Sco said he was coming back, because he's he's just such a good kid. Like, we cover these guys and, we think, oh, they're great athletes and whatnot, but we don't really get a chance to know them. And the 4 or 5 times that I interviewed Admiral after a win, I mean, just so well-spoken, just real cerebral. Like, he was just a fun player to watch. And, I mean, I think, the hiring of some of these big-time head coaches, we knew it was going to take 2 or 3 years to kind of turn it around. And my goodness, I mean, it's going to be a murderer's row. I mean, kind of what football has been over the last, decade or so kind of feels like what SEC basketball was going to be. Like, I'm not going to lie, there were 2 years ago when I was doing SEC basketball, I was like, dear Lord, is it almost baseball season? Is it almost like, can we get us to something else and fast forward it? Because it was just, frankly, a bad product outside of, like, Arkansas, Vandy had some good, decent squads under Stallings, but not world beaters either. And then now I think we're going to have a pretty high caliber product to watch. And I think that's going to be great.
Got about 30 seconds. You mentioned SEC baseball, obviously 10 teams in the tournament. A lot of fans around here, Tim Corbin and Vandy. Can they make any kind of run? If not them, who do you like to possibly make a run at the title?
I like Arkansas and Ole Miss. I think Florida has some issues. Vandy, I think this is a huge deal for them to just get at least a super regional under their belt. So it'd be nice for them to do that because I think it's just such a young team. But next year, watch out because the Vandy boys will be for real.